Now, this is a true story. Some will like it more than others. This Welsh farmer was walking along his land. At the end, he had a stream. And he saw this guy bending down. One arm just having a sip of water. So he shouted to him in Welsh, "Don't drink the water. It's poisonous." The guy kept on drinking. The farmer, obviously being Welsh, he spoke to him in Welsh. He said, "Get out. Paid of it, do gwenig." But the guy kept on drinking. The farmer walked up a bit closer and he shouted a bit louder. "Paid of it, do gwenig." The guy kept on building it down like that and drinking it. So the farmer got right up to him and he said, "Paid of it, do gwenig." And the guy said, in the most frightfully posh of English accents, "I'm frightfully sorry, old chap, but I'm afraid I don't speak a word of Welsh." Farmer said, "Oh, I was just saying, if you use both arms, you could drink twice as much." Christmas again, and I want to have a little look at Matthew 2, 1-18. Okay, I've got a marker there. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least amongst the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night,
and departed from Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. They say it's Christmas time again. But strangely, the two biggest Christian celebrations, Christmas and Easter, are not found in the Bible. What we call Easter, Jesus all referred to it as Passover. It is now incorrectly called the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper. The Last Supper is a painting by Leonardo da Vinci. Whatever name you use to recall the event, it does not alter the fact that it happened. Christians use the wrong words, but get the facts right. I think possibly we can say Jews use the correct words, but get the facts wrong. It's not the first time they got it wrong either. Most of them did not understand when Jesus was born. They had the prophecies in Psalms, Isaiah, Micah, and Daniel. They were coming true before their eyes, but they were too blind to see, except for a few shepherds. And in Luke 2, we are told of a man called Simeon, who God had promised he would not die until he had seen Jesus, the Saviour of the world. Also, there was Anna, the prophetess, who served God day and night in the temple and told everyone who would listen, this baby is the Saviour of the world. See, they all knew the scriptures. They were waiting for them. They knew the time. They knew it was about to happen. They just couldn't get it in their mind. They knew that in Isaiah, it would say, unto you a child will be born, and unto you a Saviour would be given. It said a while back, Jesus couldn't be born. A child had to be born. Jesus was already in existence. He was given. Perhaps you can understand their apprehension when they look at the background. A young unmarried mother, ancestors with a shady past, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, liars, cheats, and adulterers. Jacob's 12 sons were by 4 different women. Judah, whose descendants became known as the Jews, he had a one-night stand with his daughter-in-law, Tamar. She conceived and had twins, Perez and Zara. Perez is listed in Matthew 1 as being an ancestor of Jesus. So is Rahab, the prostitute. King David, who killed tens of thousands, had an affair with Bathsheba and had a loyal husband killed to cover his deceit. They are listed, though Bathsheba is called Uriah's wife, not David's. Jesus was from the wrong side of town. Nothing any good comes from Bethlehem. That's what they were saying.
You could put yourself in their position, and you think, oh, he's going to come a mighty man. Somewhere he's going to be powerful. His ancestors are going to be great. But what we find here is Jesus, or God, doesn't use anybody who's up there. He always uses the ones who's down there. All the ones who've got everything wrong. Like Brian said earlier on, people who come perhaps late in life to become believers, it's wham. It doesn't come like slowly. The lights suddenly go on. And they were just not expecting something marvellous to come from such a poor line. They wanted a strong leader, someone to overthrow the Roman oppressors, someone will get them freedom, not a baby born in an animal enclosure. In John 1:11 we read, he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But how much they were told, they just were not going to accept that this Jesus, born on the wrong side of town, born in an animal enclosure, was going to be who they were expecting. What I find amazing, and to me, is a kind of a proof of God's existence, is how he can accomplish his plans with so few helpers. It should be a warning to people of other faiths and to those with no faith at all that God will achieve what he sets out to do. The world will be saved by this baby and by no other way. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way and the life. No one gets to the Father by me. Mary herself, who was chosen above all others, acknowledged this herself. In Luke 1:46 and 47, she says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour. Mary admits she has a Saviour, her son Jesus. I wonder how the Catholics address this scripture. So far, we have had Simeon, Anna, and the shepherds as witnesses to the birth of Jesus. They had their message from God via the Holy Spirit and angels. How did the wise men know? Tradition has it that three men travelled from afar with three gifts for Jesus, left their presents, and went home. There is far more to the story than that. The wise men were also called magi. It's where we get our word magician from, and also the word magistrate. The men were the government of a foreign country, the top advisors. They held positions of influence, the front benches, if you like. In today's terms, they may be called Home Secretary, Foreign Secretary, Chancellor of the Exchequer, or even the Prime Minister. Remember, they had an audience with King Herod. They would not have been able to do that unless they were important people. Could any of us go to London and just drop in on the Queen or David Cameron? We would not get anywhere near, would we? There was probably more than three of them, and carrying precious gifts had bodyguards as well. They travel over mountains, through deserts, crossed rivers. They had a lot of wealth with them. It doesn't seem possible that just three people would make that journey on their own. They'd have almost certainly have got robbed, killed maybe. I mean, I have the opinion that there was a caravan, a lot of people.
lot of people there just to protect the wise men. If they were that important in the government, they would have bodyguards. Everybody who's important got a bodyguard. These men travelled thousands of miles or more on horseback, camel, dangerous, difficult terrain, probably a distance approximately from Ur to Menorca. They risked their lives to see Jesus. They must have been committed and dedicated people. This was no stroll in the park. The journey took months. How could they be sure they would find Jesus? How could they be sure their timing was right? Would they be 20 years too early or 50 years too late? Remember, these were the Magi from Babylon. History had told them about Daniel, who probably was a eunuch, how he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dreams. He saved their ancestors' lives. Do you recall Nebuchadnezzar and his dream? I suspect the king could remember his dream, but he said he couldn't to see if any of his advisors could tell him his dream before interpreting it. Of course, they all failed and were under the sentence of death. They started killing the wise men. Daniel 1:13. Daniel and friends were in the firing line. Indeed, it appears they were possibly next. Daniel 14, he was speaking with Arioch, the captain of the guard. Arioch was in charge of the killings. With wisdom, it says, Daniel asked Arioch, "What's all the rush? Why are the killings so urgent? Give us a little time and we will give the king the answer." So they bought a little time. And Daniel and his three friends, Ananiah, Mishael and Azariah, held an urgent prayer meeting. That night, the secret was revealed to Daniel. Urgently, Daniel went to Arioch, ordered him to stop the killings and take him to the king, where he would interpret the dreams. This dream was about the statue, head of gold, chest and arms of silver, thighs of bronze, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay. Daniel explained to the king that he was the head of gold, and after him would come inferior powers. The wise men were living in the time of the legs of iron, the Roman Empire. The two legs represented the two headquarters, one in Rome and one in Constantinople. The wise men knew that history had told them that Daniel had given a very accurate account of the king's dreams. Each part of the statue, the metal got less valuable, but harder. Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, lost the kingdom to Darius the Mede. Daniel had prophesied this. Belshazzar had a vision so frightening that he had to change his trousers. That very night, Belshazzar was slain, and the chest of arms of silver were now in power. The wise men knew to hold on to every word that Daniel had spoken. The 10 toes would be a future government, but all the others came into existence as Daniel had prophesied. That is why the wise men travelled to Bethlehem, because they trusted every word Daniel had spoken. In Daniel 9:24-27, Daniel gives the timing of Jesus' birth, death, when the 10 toes come into play. It's a reading of the prophecy of 70 weeks. Mm-hmm. Daniel 9:24-27. Can't be 27. Looking in the wrong place now. Right. I'm looking in Isaiah and wondering if I can find it. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish their transgressions, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolation are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring to an end the sacrifice and offerings. And on the wings of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. A week represents 7 years. The wise men accounted the years from when the order was given to rebuild Jerusalem, and therefore they set it in confidence to find the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah give an account of the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Christmas cards will have us believe that the wise men arrived at the stable at the time Jesus was born. But this morning's Bible reading indicates a slightly later time. In verse 8 of Luke, Herod refers to Jesus as a young child. In verse 11, the wise men arrive at a house, not a stable, and finding Mary with a young child. In verse 16, Herod gives the orders that all children under 2 are to be killed. The wise men had now left, heading home, confirming the accuracy of Daniel's prophecy and having seen Jesus. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus head for Egypt, having been warned by an angel that Herod would kill Jesus if he could. Where did they get the money from? To go to Egypt. When Jesus was born, all they could afford for an offering was a dove. The cheapest, poorest, only the poor. That was for. But now suddenly they can afford to go to Egypt. Perhaps the gold the wise men brought was used to pay their passage and sustain them while they were in Egypt. I believe the wise men came, say, in a caravan with protection. I think it's quite likely that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph went to Egypt with protection as well. God had provided the money, the system, everything they needed. They were not there for long. On their return, Jesus was still referred to as a child. They settled in Nazareth, still afraid to return to their hometown. As a result of settling in Nazareth, Jesus was often referred to as a Nazarene. Our understanding of Christmas may not line up exactly as the Bible portrays. Indeed, in the 1650s, Christmas and Easter was banned as a pagan festival. If it wasn't for the Catholics, it could still be banned today. But that does not alter the facts in any way at all, or in our beliefs. The first day of Christmas, that carol was a little chord that they used to get everything in line. And they used to have secret meetings in pubs. And they used to have to start the meetings early, because if they didn't, all the men was drunk. It would all be, there'd be a sign up saying what time it was all starting. So because of them, we still got Christmas and Easter today. In John 6, 37, 39, we have some amazing and reassuring scriptures speaking as Jesus, the second part of the Trinity. He says, "All the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will in no way cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day." What a Christmas present. Jesus promises that your future is secure. Have you ever had a present better than that? Let it sink in. Jesus is on oath to God the Father that he won't let you get away. In verse 40, Jesus is speaking of the Son. "This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day." This is a special time of year for all believers. It doesn't matter what denomination you belong to. Let us all join together and thank God for Jesus, the most wonderful present God has ever given to us. And just like the wise men, put our faith and trust completely in the Word of God. Merry Christmas, everybody. Thanks for listening.